This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM. We're rolling along this morning. Ron Culver back after 2 days off. Your kids are back in school, right? You got them off and running?
Got them off and running.
All right. School year is underway.
Already complaining about not wanting to go to school.
I know. That my kids were exactly two. The same way.
Day two is like, I don't want to go to school today. I'm like, dude, it's already the second day. Come on.
What was worse for my kids was we moved from New Jersey, from the Northeast, where a traditional start time is Labor Day, and you go until the end of June, to Nashville, where they started in August and end in May. So they got virtually no summer. I mean, we basically got them out of school. We packed up. We moved back to where we had lived before. Now they're going back to an old school schedule. When we were living in Colorado, my son, before my daughter was in school, my son was on a year-round school where you'd go for a couple weeks and you're off for a couple of weeks, and you go for a couple of weeks and you're off for a couple of weeks. And I got to be honest with you, I actually kind of like that. I kind of enjoyed that. It gives you we're able to take vacations at really cool times in the year, you know, whether it was going out back to Florida and, you know, where there was less congestion of spring break and all that other stuff. But they are, I mean, immediately, as soon as we got here, so they go back to the neighborhoods and whatnot. My wife is like, well, time to go school shopping. And my kids were like, we just got done. She goes, well, it's going to be here in a couple of weeks. And my kids just like melted down, already complaining. Didn't take them very long. I just remember going in Labor Day. I just remember Labor Day was the final holiday. Then the next day, my mother used to put out the clothes and that's what, off to elementary school we went. That was pretty much it. I don't like going in August. I mean, it's too hot here to go to school. But nevertheless, glad your kids are off and running to school. All right, you know, I love to make fun of the New York Mets. That's what I do. They've had a great year. When we come back, we'll tell you the latest Metsy thing that New York team has done. Plus, we'll get into the Major League Baseball. There could be a division change this weekend. Not likely, but it's up in the air. It could happen. We'll tell you about that. And a rarity last night in the majors for the Texas Rangers. I got all that coming up as we roll along in SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I told you I couldn't wait. This Metsy thing that happened last night to New York's second baseball team. I said they had a doubleheader with the Philadelphia Phillies, Ron. Ready? Game one, the Mets win 24-4. Jose Bautista had a grand slam. He had 7 RBIs. They just went down the lineup. Everyone was getting hits. Everyone was scoring runs. It was a 24-4 blast of the Philadelphia Phillies.
That doesn't sound Metsy.
Oh, but hold on. Then in game two, they lost 9-6, so they split the doubleheader. But here's the thing. You know our good friends at Elias Sports, who always seem, I don't know who works at Elias Sports, and I don't know what kind of computer software they do, but they are so quick to point out when there's a statistical anomaly. If you want to know when the last time something crazy happened in sports, they seem to pop up with stuff immediately. The Mets, in a 24-4 win over the Philadelphia Phillies, for the first time in 124 years, by the way, that's how long Major League, that's a long time for Major League Baseball. No team has ever given up 25 runs and scored 25 runs in a game in a single season. That distinction now belongs to the New York Mets. No team has scored more than 24 runs and allowed more than 24 runs in the same game since, get this, 1894. That is one for the history books. This season has been incredible for the Mets. A lot of it in a good way, in a bad way, some of it in a weird way, but the Mets continue to make this season a little bit more special. Plus, they had Keith Hernandez saying that Jose Urena absolutely should have hit Ronald Acuna Jr., which made me go, oh, lose my mind.
Yep. You got to stick to the code, Tony.
You got to stick to the code. Apparently, only Keith Hernandez was willing to either go on the record and stick to the code. I guarantee you there are a lot more than him out there.
He's a code guy.
Yep, he really is. He does this a lot. That's kind of his thing. He does that old school thing where he comes out and says, oh, no, yeah, absolutely. No, when you slide into first base, you shouldn't be doing that. Or when you overrun second base, you should be hit in the head with a bat. Back in our day, if a fly ball was hit in center field and you dropped it, well, we used to just take you in the back and just bean you with baseballs until you bled. If you overran third, we would take a batting pine tar and we would just smear it all over your face and body until you just stuck to the wall. Then we'd leave you there for 3 days. Keith Hernandez. My God. So congratulations, Mets. It's a fun box score to look at, but so was it the other day when they lost 25-2 or something to the Washington Nationals.
That's impressive.
It is impressive.
I mean, it goes to show you for the season, they make no sense.
This season has been, you could write a book about it. It's been that crazy.
I mean, you think about it, because they've had, they're notoriously known for having these bizarre years.
Yeah, exactly.
Over in time, even when they win the World Series, when they won in 86, it had to be in a bizarre fashion. They just couldn't come out and just win it.
Yep, they couldn't just win it. The Astros had to blow it in the playoffs, and then the Red Sox had to cough it up in Game 6 and force a Game 7. And here's the other thing. If you talk to diehard Mets fans, and there are diehard Mets fans, my father is one of them. When they look back on the 86 World Series, it's pleasant memories, of course, because of how that all went down. But even they will tell you, that was such an amazing baseball team that only themselves could implode like they did and not win multiple World Series. They should have won a lot of World Series. That team was stacked. That team had Ron Darling and Dwight Gooden. They had Jesse Orosco coming out of the pen. They had bats up and down that lineup. They absolutely should have won more World Series. But they didn't. Because why? Not because other teams got better. The Mets themselves imploded. Read a great book. Jeff Goodman wrote a great book called The Bad Guys Won. It was about the Mets, that Mets of the 80s. The stories will just blow your mind. Sex in the locker room while the game's going on. It was a very, very good time in New York to be a Met in the 1980s.
Yeah, Daryl Strawberry admitted to it.
Yeah.
He used to go in between innings.
Drugs and sex and more drugs and sex.
He even talks about the first time it was offered to him. It was on a plane. And we interviewed him in studio one time, and he talked about it. It's like, yeah, he was asked to go back to the plane, to the back of the plane, and they were doing it on the plane, and he didn't want to, I guess, look like a wuss, if you will. And so he partake.
Oh, well, of course.
And then him and Doc Gooden obviously became really good friends.
Yeah, him and Doc Gooden became good friends. This is a nice 30 for 30 on that, where they sit in some diner and talk about the good old days. God, Dwight Gooden. He was fantastic.
Yep.
He had that Lord Charles fastball. Instead of an Uncle Charlie curveball, they called it Lord Charles because it was so good. Nobody could hit it. So congratulations, Mets. By the way, I don't know. I know it's August, and I don't think I would be as nervous, but I'm not a lunatic fan of the Houston Astros. But Houston's going to be in Oakland this weekend for a series against the A's, and the A's are only two games back. A sweep this weekend by Oakland, which is not very likely, but you never know, could give the A's first place in the AL West and make this race in the final 6 weeks of the season very, very interesting.
No, I think there's some nervous tension.
I think so,
going
too.
Around.
I would say so.
When I listen to the local shows we have here in the building, they're not sugarcoating what's going on.
They got to get healthy quick.
They need to get healthy, but it's also the fact that they can't win at home. I think they finally won last night for the first time at home in 10 games.
Yeah, they beat the Rockies 12-1, and it ended like a 9-game home losing skid.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible for the world champions. That's incredible. Look, when they're healthy, they're right back to a World Series team. I mean, but right now they're not. But the A's, give the A's a bunch of credit, because, again, you and I joked about this before you were gone for 2 days. We now have to get to learn the A's. But in all seriousness, they've been remarkable. They're like 32-40 over. I mean, it's an amazing run, and they're putting heat. And here's the thing. On paper, you can be, like I said before, when the Astros get healthy and Jose Altuve comes back and they're healthy, they're a better team than Oakland. But the problem is that even that doesn't guarantee anything. If Oakland comes into the series and even just trims the lead to one, if they just take two out of three and they trim the lead to one, it's enough pressure on the latter half of the season that you're not really looking forward to. Because baseball, it's not just get in and it doesn't matter. It's not like the NBA. If you're a good basketball team and you're finding yourself on the rocks in the NBA, sure, you want to play for seeding, but in the end, just get one of the eight seeds and figure it out when you get there, because everybody's got to go through the same trip. NFL, we hear about this all the time. You got to get that first round bye. You get that first round bye, you're one win away from playing for your conference championship. That's it. You just got to win one game, and then the next thing you know, you're playing for your conference championship and a right to go for the Super Bowl. Whereas that wild card, that extra game can take a lot out of you. Baseball, one shot wild card at the end of the season. Can you imagine if the Astros had that? After winning the World Series, being one of the premier teams in Major League Baseball, if they come down to some one-game wild card because the Oakland A's, who I can't name five players on that team, all of a sudden rise up and learn to play well together and take over a division because you're hurting and can't quite figure it out and struggling at home and the bats are kind of quiet and the pitching's good but not quite good enough. And if you're going through your own ordeal and the Oakland A's rise up and take that division from you, and you have to play the Yankees in a one-game playoff, where two really good baseball teams, really stacked, one of them is going home. So the Oakland A's can sit back and wait and play their series with it's got to be maddening. I don't care how good you are in baseball. I don't care what your lineup is from top to bottom. I am petrified of one-game playoffs. Are you kidding? That's the most nerve-wracking game. Your starting pitcher better be on fire. Because if your lineup falls behind early and they're pressing, that's it. You're done. And the Astros, a World Series championship team, as loaded as they are, especially in pitching, especially in that lineup, when that gets clicking, the idea that they could lose the division, it's going to happen. It's not really likely to happen, but it could. The Oakland A's, if they sweep the Astros, will come away on Monday morning with a one-game lead in that division. And I don't think anybody's, I'd love to check the standings from day one. I think the Astros have been in first place since day one, even when they're just sorting it out. I don't know. Crazy. The Texas Rangers completed a rare triple play last night. A 5-4 triple play. You must have loved this, Mr. Baseball. Jerks and Profar got a ground ball. Bases loaded jam. The Rangers were in a bases loaded jam last night. And so, no outs. Bases loaded. Jerks and Profar playing third base. Got a ground ball. He was able to tag the runner. He was able to tag the bag to get the runner out that was going from second to third. He was able to tag the runner out that was on third base and then threw it to second base to get the third out, completing the rare 5-4 triple play in Major League Baseball. We talked about this with the Mets, something that has not been done in 124 years. This feat has not been done since the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 1910s. So a rare 5-4 triple play in Major League Baseball last night for the Rangers. So there's your baseball roundup. Here on SB Nation AM. 800-777-2907 is the number. You want to join us on the program? It is SB Nation Radio.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I did this story yesterday, and I thought, no, you know what? I want to get into it more when Ron's back, because he is a SoCal guy. So what do you think of this idea that Elon Musk has? He wants to drill and build a subway tunnel that will take people from Hollywood to Dodger Stadium in 4 minutes for the cost of a dollar. Gonna work?
What do you mean the cost of a dollar? Like it's only gonna cost him a dollar to build it?
No. It's gonna cost a dollar fee. Like if you were in Hollywood and you were like, I want to go to Dodger Stadium for the game tonight, here's a dollar. I get to ride the train.
Well, I mean, there is a subway system in LA right now.
I don't think you're understanding what he's trying to do. He's trying to build a 4 minutes to go from Hollywood to LA to Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
It's going to go 150 miles an hour.
I don't see anything. I don't see where anything could potentially go wrong with that.
Yeah, I know, right? In a seismic area, he's going to drill. I think he's. I don't want to sound negative here because I believe that people like Elon Musk are trying to push technology and trying to get us better lives. But this sounds very flim-flam mannish, don't you think? Like monorail. What's that called? Monorail. It's more of a Shelbyville idea type of thing.
And that was the point I was going to make. Why L.A. has had a monorail since like the 60s, I would assume. I mean, I'm not 100% sure when the monorail first happened in Disneyland. But I'm thinking it was around the 60s.
Yeah, about that time.
And we've had a lot of earthquakes there. And, you know, every once in a while, yeah, the monorail has to be retrofitted and fixed, but it's still standing. And I don't understand this fascination. Like, why do we need to go underground in a seismic area?
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
I mean, there is a subway system. It doesn't really do much. Pretty much is from downtown L.A. to Hollywood. And that's all. It's not a long subway system, but it helps people get around. I mean, the biggest problem with Southern California and the reason why we always hear so much about traffic is that they don't have a good public transit system. And now Elon Musk wants to build a monorail from Hollywood to... Which doesn't even make sense to me because not a lot... And there people do stay in Hollywood, but there's not a lot to do in Hollywood.
So I don't understand why... I don't understand if you're going to do this... Right. If you let's say you get all of the city council and every single permit, which I got to believe has got to be a stack as high as a ceiling to get this all signed. Why would you do this so that people from Hollywood in L.A. to get to Dodger Stadium? Why not just say, well, let's find other ways to use this so we can help make traffic easier? But 80 games at Dodger Stadium, what are you doing? So what? You're going to play all that money to go to Dodger Stadium?
Traffic in and out of the stadium is terrible.
Yeah, but it's terrible everywhere in America.
But we're used to that.
Exactly.
That's why LA is infamous for people show up and leave early for games.
When I went to my first Yankee game, right? My wife got me tickets to a Yankee game in the summer of 2016. We had just moved there to the New York, New Jersey area. We took the Staten Island Ferry on the south end of Manhattan, and we took the Staten Island Ferry up, got off at the Financial District, and I took the 4 train all the way up to the Bronx to Yankee Stadium. I thought it was awesome. Now, not riding the subway, I just thought it was cool that I didn't have to drive, sit in traffic, and pay for parking. And just take forever to get to the stadium. My whole career has been sitting in traffic going to stadiums. That's been my whole life. And it's one of the reasons I don't like going half the time. Because if I go to a game, I get there so early. Luckily for me as a member of the press, I usually can get there a lot earlier than people will go to a game. And I will go and I'll just play on the internet or I'll just figure out something. I'll catch up on some work. Because I don't like traffic. It's like it's traffic everywhere. Now, so I get it, but here's the problem. The thing about it is the 4 train in New York that goes up to the Yankee Stadium is a regular train that goes, where it goes, and people catch it all the time, every day of the week. Would this be used to go to Dodger Stadium in the winter? Do you need to go to Chavez Ravine in January?
Of course.
To utilize
this? That's when you do stadium tours.
Yeah, I guess so, right? And then he goes, and then he says, well, I'm willing to charge a dollar. Why would you charge a dollar for somebody to go 150 miles an hour and get from point A to point B in 4 minutes? Charge $20 for crying out loud. What are you charging a dollar for? I mean, my God. If you want to ride the subway in New York, it's $2.75. It's probably $3 by now. Even if you're going just a couple of blocks. A dollar.
No,
this is all fantasy to me.
It's not really fantasy. It's outlandish.
It's just fantasy to me. How in the world is he going to do this? How is he going to really? In Los Angeles? You mean it's, I mean, here's the, and you know this, but you know this because you're from Los Angeles. If I had a house in Los Angeles and I wanted to build a shed, the amount of paperwork and the amount of environmental people have to come to my house, it's got to be, the paperwork alone would make me go, you know what? I don't need a shed. Thanks. I don't need it. Thank you. Sorry, I don't need to take 10 years to go through the bureaucracy of building a shed on my property. And he's talking about, I'm going to drill a hole. I'm going to drill underground miles and miles and miles to a baseball stadium. And then I'm going to put in magnets that are going to allow this car to go 150 miles an hour underneath the ground from point A to point B. He's 47 years old. Do you honestly think he will live to see the day where that's accomplished? In that city, in that state, all you have to do is at some point from Hollywood to Chavez Ravine, all you have to do is say, by the way, when you're drilling, you're going to be drilling through earth that contains a rare worm that we never discovered before, and you're going to be ruining his habitat. This whole thing gets shut down. Are you kidding me? He ain't going anywhere with this stupid idea. He's not doing anything with this. This whole thing is an idea. He does this all the time. This is what he says. I've got this grand plan. I'm going to build a supersonic from Vegas to Los Angeles. It's only going to take 10 minutes because you're going to go 8,000 miles an hour. And you're like, oh, really? And then all of a sudden the stock price goes up. And guess who just made money off a stupid trial balloon that's never going to happen? He did this with the kids in the cave, right? Oh, I'll send my manned submarine. Really? You're going to send a submarine to go rescue the kids in the cave, you publicity hound. That's what he does. This is a stupid idea. But let's just pretend it's going to happen. In LA, would that be a big deal? Would people like, oh, thank God. I love this. I'm going to jump in this thing and zip over to Chavez Ravine and go. And does it have stops? Or would somebody go to Hollywood? Like, what if I lived in a place that wasn't Hollywood, but I wanted to use this? Would driving to Hollywood negate the whole point? To pick it up from point A to point B?
No, it would be a logistical nightmare. There's already enough traffic around there. You add more traffic to Hollywood. Hollywood's a big tourist trap. Everyone wants to see the stars. I mean, the museums around there are those touristy trap museums like Ripley's yes. and Guinness and Wax Museums and things like
yeah.
that. They're all touristy trap museums. No one really. There's no allure to go into Hollywood anymore, unless to see, you know, like the iconic things like Mansion. There's a few playhouses and theaters that every once in a while will have a show that you want to see, but for the most part, there's no real reason. I don't get why it'd be Hollywood. It would make more sense, like if you built it from LAX.
LAX would be
That would make more sense.
So again, if like just to use my New York example, and a lot of places that have public transit that can go to stadiums are like this. What was neat, at least for me, going on the subway to the game, was as the stops were getting closer, as we were getting closer to the Bronx, more and more people were getting on the train that were Yankee fans and had the jerseys on and with the hats, and they were all going to that Saturday afternoon baseball game. And so, and my thought was, you know, I started thinking about, all right, if I was a New Yorker and I lived in Manhattan or I lived somewhere and I got tickets to the game, how convenient it is to just go down to the subway at some point, wherever the subway goes, and take it to the stadium. Even if I have to take the N train to the R train to the 4, whatever it is. And this idea would only work if you could have a bunch of these little cars underneath going super fast. But if you're asking everybody to come to one location, then you've just made traffic even more of a nightmare just to avoid the traffic going to the stadium. It doesn't seem like a real convenient thing to do. even though it might, the price tag might be upwards of $1 billion to be, you know, to be put together. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, if you had a, if Elon Musk's supersonic jet, or whatever it is, I mean, what would you call it? Just a car that would be in those tubes? He had an idea of going from like New York to LA, and it would be go 1,000 miles an hour because he was going to use these magnets. So that's I don't know anything about science, so the technology of it, he's going to use the magnets. Would you ever get in one of those? Like, we get in planes that go 600 miles an hour, but this seems a little like more roller coaster-ish to me.
No, I think what is needed, and honest to God, and you know you're familiar with this because they have it at Disney World, is just a people mover.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Slow-moving thing that just never stops. I mean, just like you put this huge train, the door opens up. It doesn't have to go high speed, but if it's just consistently moving, you're going to be fine. You'll make time. I mean, I don't understand this need of like, you know what, let's make it fast. Unless, you know, like you and I were talking off air about, unless it's something like a high-speed train to get you from point A to point B in a certain amount of time. You know, from L.A. to San Francisco, it's at least a 6 to 8 hour drive. If you're hitting no traffic, you could get there in 6 hours. Very hard to do, so plan on 8 hours. But if you built a high speed train, you're able to get there in an hour. Then that's something I can get behind.
Yeah, I can see that. I would do that. The only problem is like, have you ever taken a train anywhere? Have you ever taken like an Amtrak or like a
long, oh yeah, long many distances? Times, many
the
times.
The problem is it has to stop all the time.
Right.
That's how it makes its money. It has to pick up more passengers.
I think part of this plan with that high speed train is only going to have like 2 or 3 stops.
Yeah.
So that way it could go, you know, 1,000 miles per hour.
When I went to when I was in college, I went from Columbia, South Carolina, to Washington D.C. via Amtrak because it was an Amtrak station like right down the road from my dorm. So I was a broke college kid. Now, a buddy of mine wanted me to go visit for a long weekend, and I said, "Great." So I went down to the Amtrak station, bought a ticket. I thought I could walk faster to Washington, D.C. than Amtrak was taking me to get there. I mean, it was forever to get to Washington, D.C. because we had to stop at every town in America on the way up to pick up passengers. So if you're telling me I can go from point A to point B and I don't have to, I could bypass that, I would get into it. 1,000 miles an hour, though. I think it would be fun, like when you're sitting in your seat. And they go, "Okay, guys, everybody ready? Ready?" And then you start building up your speed. And then next thing you know, of course, speed
is,
you know.
I don't want to build up speed. I want to be one of those things, like, you know, those roller coasters that just shoot you out right away? Just start it off.
Yes.
Just, you know, hey, put your seats up, buckle in, here we go.
Yeah. And then
Now, my wife and I, when we lived in L.A., we used to take the train up to Santa Barbara. And that was nice because it goes along the ocean.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a part of it where it's just, you know, ocean all on one side, and you're just relaxing, having a cocktail. But there was, and it was, you know, it's a short trip. I mean, it only makes between where we lived in northern LA to Santa Barbara, I think made like 4 or 5 stops, which wasn't too bad. And it was definitely a lot easier. It was almost the same time frame as if we were to drive our own car, but it was a lot easier. We didn't have to
That's
worry
nice.
About anything.
Yeah.
Except there was one time we were coming back from Santa Barbara. We hit a car. Our train hit a car.
Oh, my gosh.
And the way I could best describe it, because where the train stopped was right where our window was, and we could see the car. We didn't damage the car. I mean, I think the train did take the car's bumper off. And why this lady didn't scoot like 2 inches more in was beyond me.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, be petrified crossing a railroad crossing.
Yeah, I mean, you're
like,
for
get
sure,
over
you
as
know,
quickly
you
as
know
possible.
Your back end is sticking over the train tracks. A train could come. I'm always nervous, and on dormant tracks, the train tracks I know are no longer in use. I'm a little nervous when I'm sticking a little bit over that train track.
Like, yeah, no kidding.
You know, I've seen Back to the Future. A ghost train could pop up anytime.
Listen, I was in my town here the other day. I was driving, and I was behind a truck. And we got to one of those, you know, railroad crossings, and the lights were going off, but it didn't have a barrier. That just the lights were going off, and I don't know why this guy thought it was a stop, look both ways and cross the track thing, but he stopped. He looked both ways as he was driving. That train was coming off the trees. It was coming out of the trees, And he just sped up and went. And I was like, oh my gosh, he was seconds away. That, you know, those trains will plow you to kingdom come. And I those, there, yeah, they're pretty scary. So, all right, well, good luck, Elon Musk. I hope that actually comes about. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, you know what, Ron? When you left for 2 days, DJ Durkin was the coach at Maryland. Today, he's still the coach at Maryland. Why is he the coach at Maryland? Why have we not figured out a buyout or figured out the legal maneuvering to get him out of, as the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins?
Probably
why
are we clause. Still on? They don't want to get sued.
Well, there's here's the deal. There's got to be, if you're Maryland, you probably have 6 to 7, if not more, lawyers on staff that can get you out of this contract as quickly as possible. Hand him some money and let him go. Give him his check and let him go. Buy out the contract and let him go.
Now, the only thing I can think of at this point is that the university knew and helped bury it. And if they and if DJ Durkin goes down, he's taking the whole ship with him.
Oh, then that stinks, because if that's the case, he's going to end up staying employed there.
No, I mean, but that's what happened. I mean, Michigan, you know, I'll go back to Michigan State. Michigan State, I mean, a lot of those higher-ups, they knew about Larry Nassar. And when the fallout came, all those guys got replaced.
Yeah, but I don't know about that's true, but I don't know if that happened at Maryland, because if I'm the president and I just and the football staff, I let's say I'm the president or I'm somebody in the higher up and I say the kid died, okay, and I want to know why. It's as you and I said before, we've had these stories where athletes die, and then we go, oh, you know what? It's one of those things. It's tragic, but it happens. It just so happens here. If I'm the president or I'm a higher up at Maryland, all right, I could take that as a reasonable, oh, okay, just one of those things. It's tragic, but it's one of those things. I don't need to know any more than that. I wouldn't want to know any more than that. I would say, oh, I wouldn't have even asked. I mean, did you guys give him an ice bath? I would just assume, I would trust my people that everything possible. And if they said to me, we did everything possible, I would go, okay, I guess so. In the Larry Nassar case, it seems like if you were told, by the way, all of these women have been sexually assaulted, I could see, okay, we got to go into cover-up mode because this could break down the program. I could honestly see the people at Maryland going, there's no scandal here to cover up. A player died, and he died because sometimes this thing does happen, and we don't know why he died. He just did. Rather than what they're finding out now was, oh my God, you guys actually didn't call 911 for an hour? You actually didn't take the proper procedures to get him cooled down because his body temperature was 106 degrees? Oh my God, you guys actually did all these things? You guys told us you took every step measurable possible, and now I got to find out through an ESPN report? I could see them honestly making that statement. They don't know everything that's going on in every single department at every single moment of every single day. They're taking upon the superiors in those departments to tell them what's going on. And they go, okay, great. And then they get this report and they're like, wait a minute, hold on. There's more to this. And so when the president came out the other day and stood on the podium on Tuesday and said, no, we are taking moral, legal and moral responsibility for this kid's death, Jordan McNair's death. I've never heard a college say that in those kind of terms before. I've never heard a college publicly say that before, where they said they were going to take moral and legal responsibility. That means payouts are coming. That means the lawyers got together and said, you ain't getting out of this. There's no cover up here. You guys have got to pay this family. You guys have to settle this family. There is no excuse for why this took place. There is no reason why this went down. You are absolutely 100% responsible for this thing as a university. So that's already out of the bag. They're not covering it up. They're coming out and saying that. So fire the football coach. Fire the football coach. Unless, of course, like you said, there's something else going on, because I don't understand why 3 days after this announcement, this huge proclamation, and I can't begin to tell you how big that was. 3 days later, it's still, well, we don't know. Maybe we'll fire him. I don't know. Maybe we should. I mean, if he shouldn't be allowed to be with kids for, or, you know, student athletes for a while, if it was in this situation. But again, even if there were higher ups that did know, they've already said we're legally responsible for this. We're morally and legally responsible for this. So they're already saying, take us for what we got. We failed on every level. There's no excuse for this. This is not one of those things. This is not like we talked about Hank Gathers. This is not just, oh my goodness, nobody realized he had a heart condition. Or, oh my God, nobody saw, all the medical doctors never saw this about his health. And he was a ticking time bomb, and it's just tragic. Nope. He was a healthy kid. He got overheated in a workout he shouldn't have been a part of. He got a body temperature of 106 degrees. Nobody monitored that. Nobody took him out of the workouts. They bullied him to continue the workouts. They've been bullying all their players to always continue their workouts. Trainers weren't allowed to do stuff, whatever it was. They didn't call 911 till after an hour after he went into seizures. They failed on every single level, and the school is saying, okay, we're opening up to every scrutiny you can, every legal option that you want against us. We are open to this, and yet, DJ Durkin still has a job. Mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling to me. And you know what? Chances are when we come back on Monday, he'll still have a job. But you know what, Ron? Maybe you're right. Maybe there is more to this than we don't know, and that's going to even be a bigger story coming down.
At this point, that's the only logical thing.
It's the only logical answer.
That or absolutely. Maryland's just sitting on it saying, you know, playing the whole hand like, oh, we're going to wait till all the evidence comes out.
And I thought they did that on Tuesday.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm just throwing out suggestions, Tony. Yeah. Don't shoot the messenger.
I thought Tuesday was the end point, right? We're done. We know exactly what happened. We are at fault.
Or
right?
They're playing the... You know what? If we don't address it and everything's quiet card, it'll go away. Like the ostrich in the sand sticking his head in the dirt or whatever scenario.
Well, if he's on the sideline.
If I can't
Texas
see
game.
You, you can't see me.
Maybe so.
So if nothing's being said, then we're okay.
All right. I'm not gonna try to equate a student death to a car accident. But let me just say this. If I hit you and... If we got in a car accident and I was turning left and I didn't signal or something, I ran into you and the cops came and I said to the cop, all right, here's how it went down. I was turning left. I did not even see him. I should have saw him. I shouldn't even been turning left. I was going down a one-way street. I totally am negligent for this. I am 100% responsible for this. You can actually see the evidence that I was trying to go down a one-way street and ran right into him without even looking. I mean, if the cop looks and says, yeah, you were going down a one-way street. There wouldn't need to be a private investigator to come in and go, no, let's look into it some more. Like, we would all just go, nope, Ron gets all the money he needs to get from the accident from Tony's side because Tony admitted culpability and all the evidence is that he's culpable for this accident.
But basically what is happening is you fessed up and I shake your hand going, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling the truth.
And now the parents of Jordan are the ones on the outside going, hey, the coach should be fired. I mean, after all, he's kind of responsible for this, or the death of our son. And Maryland's like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
But he was honest. He came out and said it, so he gets to keep his job.
But here's the thing. Even if there was, like, clauses in the contract, it's like if he lost 12 games this year, they'd find a way to fire him. They'd just pay him off.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't just get to keep your job. Like, these contracts aren't written that's like, well, no matter what happens to him, he has to stay.
Have they had good seasons?
They're mediocre.
Team, right?
Yeah, they're mediocre with him since he's gotten there.
I mean, this isn't like Urban Meyer. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just I'm harping on this because when you left on that Tuesday, I just was like, this is what's going on with college sports. It's driving me crazy. It's like,
well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, like you pointed out, Urban Meyer. I'll be honest with you, never heard of DJ Durkin until this incident.
Yeah,
I mean, was not a name. I mean, you know, easy to find, easy to look up, but he's not a named coach. That, oh my God, yes, you can't get rid of him.
If he didn't coach at Florida, I wouldn't know who he was. I'm not up on every single assistant. The only assistants I know are the teams that I'm very, very familiar with. I know he was at Michigan, but I didn't know him from Michigan. I know him because he was on the staff at Florida. That's it. You're right. He's not this guy that had success at, name your big time Power Five conference school that went to Maryland. It's not like he turned Texas A&M around and then landed at Maryland. He was a good assistant coach. He's probably worthy of a head coaching job, got the head coaching job, and then blew it. So, I don't know. I feel like when we get together on Monday, he'll still be employed. But maybe not. We'll see. All right, 800-777-2907. Or hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Tony D Radio. He is at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, Ron, the Meg got 48% on Rotten Tomatoes. Who are the critics that are not into
an awesome
major
movie.
Shock movie? That means it's great.
It's going to be a great movie.
Oh, come on, critics. I just didn't find
the shark real enough.
Yeah, real enough. I didn't quite understand what the director was getting at.
All right, I got to say this. I got to tell you this real quick, because the fact that Sharknado is this Sunday.
I know.
What has been great about the Sci-Fi Channel is they've been playing all the cheesy shark movies.
Oh, that's great.
And I've been catching up on all Toxic
Have
Shark,
you?
Atomic Shark.
Oh, I saw Atomic Shark. Yes, I wanted to tape that. Is it good, Atomic Shark?
Terrible.
That's what I want.
The acting is horrible. It's fantastic.
It's awesome. Oh, I want to go see this movie so bad because all the critics hate it. The critics that I like are the critics that get what this movie really was supposed to be and said, look, I had a blast. I watched this thing and I had a blast. The critics that are like, I didn't quite believe the character's motivation. Shut up. It's a shark movie, for crying out loud, and it's awesome. SB Nation AM rolling along.